They didn't put the whole conversation here. This was relating to a conversation Srila Prabhupada was having with Srila Sridhar Maharaj in 1977. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned how much Lakshmi he was bringing into India from the selling of his books. And Sridhar Maharaj made some humorous comment, "Oh, so you are bringing a lot of money for Indira Gandhi." At that time, Indira Gandhi was a prime minister. And Prabhupada begins from there, that's what I say. And we'll start from there today. Om Aginati Mirandasya Inanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada, that's what I say with much difficulty. I translate the books at night, and they print it and sell it and send $70,000-$80,000 every month to me here. Is India benefiting out of this or losing out of this? But they are blaming them as CIA. Tirtha Maharaj used to say the American government has given Swami $2 million, as if the American government didn't have anything better to do or couldn't find a better person to give the money to. So for making the devotees chant Hare Krishna and dance, they would give me the money, $2 million. Sridhar Maharaj, a man from the Central Intelligence Department, took initiation from me. He was asking me about your movement. I told him, these are nothing but rumors. I know Swami Maharaj since a long, long time. I know him very well, and this movement is nothing but a purely spiritual movement. Actually, what they are thinking is that previously they, the British, etc., used to send the missionaries. Then they used to send the merchants, and then the army used to come and take over. But those days are no more. Christianity has become much less effective now. There's such a faith of universal religion, if a net could be cast throughout the world, that could be utilized in the future. Shakti Vesha Avatar. And after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sridhar Maharaj declared about Prabhupada, I consider him, Srila Prabhupada means Bhakti, means Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. Srila Maharaj declared, I consider him to be Shakti Vesha Avatar. And it is confirmed in his writings on his spiritual journey through the Atlantic, how he landed there in America, and the nature of his beginning the movement, his intense degree of dedication to Krishna and dependence, and how much he made himself empty of any other desire, that the order of his Gurudev quite empty, that Krishna came down to help him. And it is corroborated that Krishna worked on his behalf in his poem prayer to the lotus feet of Krishna. We find him pleading with Krishna, my dear brother, your good fortune will come to you only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Seeing his Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as Radharani's delegation and his order as her divine service, he humbly submitted that he did not feel himself worthy or fit to discharge the divine service, so he enlisted Krishna in the service of his Guru. He had completely dedicated himself to the purpose. He was so earnest in his prayer to Krishna that he may discharge the duty that he has been given by his Guru Maharaj, that divine force power came down to help him. Otherwise, it is impossible. It is not a thing of the ordinary level that anyone will do, but the highest thing has been taken down to the lowest position so extensively. It cannot but be the divine power embodied and in the great intensity and such magnitude. So Shakti Vesha Avatar, I cannot but take him to be so. Vision of ISKCON. When asked what should be the vision of ISKCON, Srila Sridhar Maharaj replied that Raghunath Das Goswami gives the real acquaintance of what is ISKCON and his prayer. Namasrestam Manumapi Sachiputra Matra Sorupam. I am fully indebted to Sri Gurudev. Why? He has given me so many things. The highest conception of the holy name of Krishna, the highest form of sound, which contains the highest form of thought, aspiration, ideal, everything. And he has given me the service of our great Savior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his dearmost assistant, Sarup Damodar. Then he has brought me in connection with Sri Rup, who was ordered to distribute the heart's innermost dealings, the highest devotional love, Raganuga Bhakti. Then Gurudev has given me Srila Sanatana Goswami, who gives us Sambandha Gyan, a proper acquaintance with the environment. And he has given me Mathura Mandal, which will help me in my remembrance of Radha and Govinda whenever I shall cast my glance. By his grace, Gurudev has revealed the super excellent position of Radhakund, the favorite place of Radha and Govinda for their pastimes, and this great Govardhan. And lastly, he has given me the hope that one day I can get the service of Sri Sri Radhika and Madhava. I have been given all these assurances by my Gurudev, so I bow down my head with all my respects to his holy lotus feet. If we are conscious of all these spiritual masters, then we can think that we have approached our Gurudev properly. What is our guru? What is his mission? It is filled with all these things. Devoid of that, what is our interest? ISKCON must not deviate from this line. We have not come here to deceive ourselves, but to fulfill ourselves. ISKCON will fulfill everyone's inner demand, even extending to the vegetables and stones, taking them to the feet of Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis. From village to village, everyone in every place should be hunted and approached. Take the name of Krishna. Come under the flag of Mahaprabhu. This grand worldwide mission will thrive like anything. It will touch the heavens and cover the earth and other planets also. That was the aim of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and we understand and appreciate that. Bell ringers, Sri Damash. I heard from different people that Swami Maharaj has told his disciples that in Bengal, most of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have deviated from his teachings. So now you have to go and reinstate them there. Giving such inspiration, he sent them there. Now, if that is true, of course, I have myself not heard it from him. I simply heard it from others. And in a way, I think it is quite possible also just to encourage them so they might have gone this far from that. They might think that what is our spiritual master, the great preaching work that he has done, what he received from the lotus feet of his spiritual master, that is novel and wonderful, substantial potency, and with that he has come here to recapture. And the ones, those who are in possession of that, they are almost dying. So you might almost go and give it there. Like when the Brahmins fell down in Bengal at one time, the Adisur brought the Brahmins from Kanoj and then he re-established the Varnashram system here like that. He has also done something like that. I heard from Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj that before leaving this planet, Swami Maharaj requested him to beg forgiveness on his behalf from his godbrothers, that at times he might have offended his godbrothers while preaching. This he said, I heard it from Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He said that although he had due respect towards his godbrothers, but still while preaching he might have offended them a little bit, so he should be forgiven. Like I heard once, a Kinchin Maharaj asked him, what are your godbrothers doing? So he replied, well, they just eat and sleep and ring the bell. Hearing this, they became very offended, and they came to me. But my observation is neutral, so I said, the drum that he is playing, if he accepts you as a player of the bell in that band, then you should consider this to be a great honor. I told this. My view is different. I saw that he is playing a huge drum, a battle drum. So if you get a chance to play the kashi or cymbals, along with that, that is a great honor to you, a more dignified position to get. This I am speaking from absolute consideration. A few Gaudiya Math sannyasis had many hundreds of disciples, had opened many temples, were at that time preaching with vigor, so they were understandably irritated. For example, in a room conversation in Bhubaneswar in 1977, Srila Prabhupada, hearing the report of his disciples that Madhava Maharaj had a whole village enthusiastically engaged in Krishna conscious activities, suggested that we should do likewise. keeping ISKCON together. Srila Siddharmash, I am open to all. Generally, I want that both parties will come and I shall try to help that it may not be broken asunder, torn asunder. Such a great thing has been done by Swami Maharaj. I love it very much. That a worldwide movement, organization that will be broken into factions, I can't tolerate this. So I like that both parties will come and I shall try to find out a middle solution. But the party in power may not care to come. For a long time, I've been feeling that whenever I have come upon a person going away dissatisfied, dissatisfaction is going within the party. I am unhappy. But the party in power does not care to come to me. I'm sufficiently old, but I don't like to see that Swami Maharaj's great work is disturbed in such a way. So laudable a thing, prithiviti acheyata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe moranam. This great action undertaken by Swami Maharaj, effectively successful, that is going to be ruined by an internal feud, intolerable. So if both parties come, I shall try my best before I die, that I want to see a united front and a healthy thing, healthy institution. That is my desire, my heart's desire. Bhakti Jerusalem. That is what most of the God Brothers also feel. At this time in 1980, this includes many GBC members. They feel that whatever Srila Siddharmar says, we will accept that decision. In the core of my heart, I desire such that it may be broken is intolerable. It should remain a united front and be victorious over the other religious principles. There are so many enemies in the name of religion. They are flourishing, and such a great future will be lost. It is intolerable, and especially Prabhupada asked me to go to the West. I cannot go, but Prabhupada has brought the West to me. So I must. I have got some holy duty to discharge about that. I feel so. Anyhow, it may not be broken into pieces. United we stand, divided we fall. But if hopeless, then no alternative. For the sake of the truth, we must always side with the truth and not with the falsehood. Hare Krishna, Gaura Hari Bol. Swami Maharaj took the responsibility of that great unfinished work and did wonderfully successful work. And we feel proud for him. We feel pride for his activity. And how can we tolerate in our lifetime? Within 2 or 3 years after his departure, it will be broken into pieces. It is intolerable. Hare Krishna. But if for the sake of quality, for the sake of truth, we are to face such a situation, it can't be helped. Truth is everything. Satyam param dhimahi. Gauravaribol jai chaitanya. We would like to point out that in the above discussion, Srila Siddharmaraj refers to the two parties who are engaged in internal feuding and ruining ISKCON, namely the ruling party, the GBC, and the dissatisfied God Brothers. Srila Siddharmaraj clearly wants to help solve the problem, but the party in power does not care to come to me, so he can only advise a disenfranchised. However, the GBC, in line with their policy of intolerance to any talk of reform or constructive criticism feared the stricture of God Brothers other than themselves with Srila Siddharmaraj and ultimately condemned it. This is the history. Then, let's see. Mati, would you like to read? Chapter 5. My voice is not very good today.
Haribo?
Are you there?
Haribo.
We can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes, we can hardly hear you.
Can you hear? Yes, I can hear. Can you hear me?
Yes. The way your voice is always so soft. Go ahead, start. You can read. You know where we are? Mati, you know where we are?
Yes, Maharaj, chapter 5.
Yes.
Shortly before he left us in 1977, Srila Prabhupada advised his disciples that they should go to Srila Sridhar Maharaj if they had questions about philosophical matters. This instruction was accepted by the entire GBC at the time, and from 1977 until 1981, they did approach Srila Sridhar Maharaj with many important questions. A major portion of this presentation is composed of excerpts from recording and transcripts from these questions and answer session with the GBC members. The GBC Guru position in 1978. The GBC official statement published after the initial question and answer session with Sridhar Maharaj is taken directly from Srila Sridhar Maharaj's instructions to the GBC, with a few noteworthy additions and subtractions. That it was actually the instruction of Srila Prabhupada to approach Sridhar Maharaj for spiritual instructions and cooperation by taped statements in our possessions of Jayapataka Maharaj, Satswarupa Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and many other GBC, some of whom later changed their minds regarding the validity of the other previous statements, as well as by Tripurari Maharaj, who was personally massaging Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet when he heard this instruction directly from Srila Prabhupada. Over the years, we have seen various facts mysteriously change overnight according to the political climate, so we have taken the trouble of substantiate our statements with hard copy, tape transcript, and similar irrefutable evidence. Understandably, one may change the opinion regarding certain things, but this does not change essential facts, the actual truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi. The word Satyam means that one should not distort the truth for some personal interest. BG 16.3 purport. Let us not forget that there is an overseer, Riddhi. Sunny Visto, BG 15.15, and he witnessed our every activity, Upadastanumanta Ka, BG 13.23, and will give us our just Dokarmana Divya Nitrana, BG Bhag 3.31.1. Better to be Devyam Prakritam Asrita, BG 9.13, under the shelter of his divine grace. One's position in devotional service is, after all, classified according to one's faith, Shraddha Anusari, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.64, and one's ultimate faith is indeed dependent upon qualifying oneself for the Lord's mercy. Logically speaking, on the basis that this was the last instruction in regard to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and considering that Srila Prabhupada was always very careful, fully aware of what he was doing, and that these were his final days with his disciple, this must be regarded as the most authoritative or substantial statement made by Srila Prabhupada in regard to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Most highly competent of my godbrothers. Hello?
Gurchandra Prabhu, please switch the microphone.
Yes, bro.
Despite Srila Prabhupada's final and a conclusive statement regarding Sridhar Maharaj, some take Srila Prabhupada's letter to Rupanuga in 1974 as the conclusive statement about Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Excuse me. In this well-known letter, Srila Prabhupada said that Sridhar Maharaj was responsible for selecting an acharya who proved to be a failure. Srila Prabhupada then warns not to make the same mistake in Ishkan. Then Srila Prabhupada warns that his disciples must be careful in mixing with the godbrothers, with his godbrothers. That Ishkan did not. One second. That Ishkan did in fact make the same mistake that Srila Prabhupada warns about in this letter to Rupinuga, unauthorized acharya appointments, has been documented by Ravindra Swarupa, a prominent and respected member of the GBC and initiating guru, known for being one of the deep thinkers of ISKCON. In his papers, under my order, portions of which are presented below in this section entitled, Is Srila Sridhar Maharaj Moods Different Than Prabhupada's? The above-mentioned personal instruction of Srila Prabhupada to approach Srila Sridhar Maharaj for philosophy was given 3 years after the Rupanuga letter was written. In this letter of Srila Prabhupada must be harmonized with the other statements of Srila Prabhupada in order to get an accurate picture of Srila Prabhupada's feelings about Srila Sridhar Maharaj. In addition to Srila Prabhupada's final statement about Srila Sridhar Maharaj above, There is Srila Prabhupada's letter to Rishikesh, 1969. I can refer you to one who is most highly competent of my I can refer you to one who is most highly competent of my godbrothers. This is B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, whom I consider to be even my Shiksha Guru. So what to speak of the benefit that you can have from his association? Srila Prabhupada repeatedly tried to get Srila Sridhar Maharaj to come to his temple in Mayapur. See letter to Srila Sridhar Maharaj in 1976 and room conversation in 1977. Excerpts in chapter 1. In the 1977 room conversation, Srila Prabhupada offers to build Srila Sridhar Maharaj a house at the Mayapur temple so Srila Sridhar Maharaj can preach to Srila Prabhupada's disciple, imploring Sridhar Maharaj 6 times to please do so.
Okay, Mataji, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Then, Gaur Chandra, would you like to read?
Yes, Maharaj.
Huh?
Dhanavaj,
Prabhu.
One important God brother, in his July 7, 1975 letter to Bon Maharaja, Srila Prabhupada related Srila Sridhar Maharaj's praise. Kipat Sridhar Maharaj also appreciated my service. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, Prithvite Ache Yatay Nadagar Adigram Sarvat Prachar Hoibe Muranam, would remain a dream only. But he congratulated me that I have done it practically a year and a half earlier during a morning walk in Los Angeles. On December 14, 1973, Srila Prabhupada had also narrated how Srila Sridhar Maharaj had said that he had done the impossible. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim. That one of my important godbrothers says, he is sincere, all others not. He says that I am in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is said, Prithvite Achayadha Nagradigram. We were thinking that this is imagination, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult would be spread all over the world, everyone will chant, so you have done it. So he is appreciating in that way. But we are simply thinking that it is impossible, it is simply imagination. But that you have made it possible. So that is his appreciation. But when there is a conflict between opposing statements, they must reconcile. Since we, the disciples, take the instructions of our Srila Prabhupada as not different from Shastra, we may resolve his apparently conflicting statements as Rupa Goswami did for Shastra. Virodho vakyor yatra na pramanyam tad ishyate yatha viruddhata sach chasyat tathartha kalpyate tattayo. When two scriptural statements contradict each other, one is not taken as inauthentic. One should give the meaning in such a way that the contradiction is removed. Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.2.1.2. To harmonize this in an impartial way, we may consider that in the Rupanuga letter, Srila Prabhupada was using the apparent activities of Srila Sridhar Maharaj to make a point, particular point to us. Namely that to elect an acharya was not an authorized activity of the governing body of the Gaudiya Mutt, and that it was contrary to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's expressed desire. In Srila Prabhupada's own words, therefore, not commit the same mistake in our ISKCON camp. Srila Prabhupada was also warning us that at least four of his godbrothers had on one occasion tried to steal his disciples. So we must be very careful about them. He made it easier for us by simply saying all godbrothers. There, although Srila Prabhupada may have in his intense preaching campaign criticized some of his godbrothers, in light of proper Shastric Vaishnava etiquette, it is improper for his disciples to criticize them. What to speak of publishing criticisms, thereby creating opportunity for repeated Vaishnava prath, for which one will be held accountable. Srila Prabhupada also did say that the war is over now. Still, we see that certain ISKCON devotees have the habit of openly and freely criticizing any and all of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers as they like. We feel that this is very unhealthy spiritually for them. The overemphasis on Srila Prabhupada's letter to Rupanuga and minimizing substantial statements to the contrary merely makes Srila Prabhupada out to be duplicitous to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He showed great respect, but behind Srila Sridhar Maharaj's back, he really did not trust him. Please refer to Chapter 1, A Transcendental Friendship, for a detailed account of the long and intimate association of these two great devotees. A Transcendental Friendship was originally published in another form as the Guardian of Devotion. An account of Srila Sridhar Maharaja's activities in the Gaudiya Matha has been given in Chapter 3, A Short History of Srila Sridhar Maharaja and the Gaudiya Matha. A careful reading of the documents which will greatly help us to clarify our understanding of these dealings between godbrothers. When we take into account all of Srila Prabhupada's loving exchanges with his dear godbrother Srila Sridhar Maharaja, it becomes evident that this letter to Rupanuga is completely inconsistent with their actual relationship and thus must be seen as a warning only. We point out here that the mistakes made by the leaders of ISKCON were much graver than the alleged apparent mistakes of Sri Maharaja. Supposed incorrect advice and desires to control ISKCON and been forgiven easily, whereas Srila Sridhar Maharaj is still to this day maligned. In light of an unbiased look at Srila Prabhupada's letters, room conversations, etc., it can be concluded that Srila Prabhupada did not discourage his disciples from receiving instructions from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. On the contrary, he encouraged it.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Jagan Mohini. Would you like to read?
Dandavat Maharaj.
Chai Dandavat.
Dandavat Hare Krishna. Yes. Our Swami Maharaj has done a miracle. When told of the Rupanuga letter, Srila Sridhar Maharaj replied, "Just see the preaching of Swami Maharaj. He has not even spared me, his intimate friend. When we examine the hearts of these two Vaishnavas, we see the real intentions of these pure devotees of the Lord, fully absorbed in devotional service. One must examine all the facts impartially, not just make a superficial estimation based on one letter and general statements and pass a decree for all time. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.3 warns us of this sort of thing, that to forcibly justify one's actions by one's strength is in the mode of passion and thus leads to misery. Srila Prabhupada many times mentioned that his godbrothers were envious. A scan of the Srila Prabhupada folio shows that he mentions the names of certain godbrothers repeatedly as envious, consistently excluding the name of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. That Sridhar Maharaj is non-envious is self-evident. For example, upon listening to the recording of their meeting in 1973 after Prabhupada's triumphant return to India from his successful preaching in the West. So our Swami Maharaj has done a miracle. Thakur Bhaktivinod conceived and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began to translate this conception into action. And we find that through Swami Maharaj in his last days, it has been fulfilled to such a great extent. We are happy, we are glad, we are proud. In the same conversation, Srila Prabhupada revealed his thoughts at the time. Our relationship is very intimate. After the breakdown of the Gaudiya Math, I wanted to organize another organization, making Sridhar Maharaj the head. In the Lilamrita, Volume 3, page 203, Satsvarup Maharaj writes of the events 6 years earlier. In fluent English, he, Sridhar Maharaj, began praising Prabhupada's preaching in America, repeatedly using Prabhupada's phrase, Krishna consciousness. Swamiji's work, he said, was the fulfillment of Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that Krishna consciousness would one day spread all over the world. He laughed and smiled and praised the Krishna consciousness movement with no trace of jealousy. That was Room Conversation, October 1967. Should I continue, Maharaj?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Our Affectionate Guardians, Chapter 5, Doubts. Is Srila Sridhar Maharaj's preaching different than Prabhupada's? That Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj's understanding of the philosophy is congruent is clear from the following excerpt from Chapter 1, A Transcendental Relationship. Krishna and Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, liked him to prepare me. Sridhar Maharaj lived in my house for many years at the time of the breakup of the Gaudiya Math and afterwards. So naturally, we had very intimate talks, and he was my good advisor. I took his advices, instructions very seriously, because from the beginning, I knew he is a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee, and I wanted to associate with him, and I tried to help him also. Our relationship is very intimate. Srila Prabhupada, 1973, Room Conversation. Contradictions, real and apparent. Apparent contradictions between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Oops, sorry, I just lost my page. Apparent contradictions between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj provide us with a chance to more deeply scrutinize our understanding of Krishna consciousness and help us make progress toward our infinite Lord. Srila Prabhupada himself wrote in a letter on 19 February 1972 that there is no reason why acharyas cannot differ on certain points. Generally speaking, apparent contradictions can be eventually understood to be either a difference based on rasa or preaching techniques, wherein preaching and siddhanta may not always be the same. An example of the former is the disagreement that eternally exists between the Vatsalya and Madhurya rasas. Simply put, Jasodamayi very much wants her son Krishna to have a good night's sleep, while the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, want him to leave the house and dance with them in the Vrindavan night. In the case of the latter, the preaching is surrounded by contradictions, as the preacher may say different things at different times to awaken divine faith in the hearts of the fallen jivas. Thus, preaching and siddhanta are apparently not always in concert. The highest truth is to give Krishna consciousness. In the field of preaching, at one time, one instruction may be given. At a later stage, we may be told the opposite. In a conversation on March 9th, 1976, Srila Prabhupada clarified this idea. Madhuvisa. In the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in one of your purports, you say that a sannyasi should never discourage a young man from getting married. But on the other hand, we understand that a sannyasi should encourage young men to remain brahmachari. So it seems to me like there's some kind of contradiction. Prabhupada. According to time and circumstance, just like Krishna says, Nityatam Kuru Karma Tvam, always be engaged in your prescribed work, Bhagavad Gita 3.8. And at last he says, Sarvada mam parichaja, mam ekam sharanam raja, Bhagavad Gita 18.66. So now you adjust. That is not a contradiction. It is just suitable to the time and circumstance. Madhuvisa. But is there some conclusion? Prabhupada. The real aim is that you have to become the eternal servant of Krishna. when apparent contradictions are not resolved by the advancing devotee, they give rise to real contradictions. Real contradictions deviate one from the pure devotional conclusions. These real contradictions are based on anartha, and they must be transcended. Rasamanandam is the purest white, and material desire is the darkest black. In the transition from the dark black of material life to the pure white of our highest spiritual prospect, there are many shades of gray through which we must pass, resolving apparent contradictions along the way.
Okay, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Maharaj Dandavat.
Thank you. Jonathan Prabhu, would you like to read?
Thank you, Maharaj Dandavat.
Dandavat.
What follows is an example of an apparent contradiction. Uh-oh. I've got a problem here. Just a moment.
Good morning, Mataji, has to like mute the microphone. It was echo from her.
Okay. I thought it was probably my setup. What follows is an example of an apparent contradiction in the writings of Srila Prabhupada and Sridhara Maharaj. Resolving this is a valuable exercise of our Krishna consciousness. In Srila Prabhupada's translation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, he translates the following verse thus: Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma birakshitam paraptam dvitaidam etasam balam bhima birakshitam. Our strength is immeasurable, and we are perfectly protected by Grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. This is the Bhagavad Gita 1.10. The same verse, however, is translated quite differently by Srila Sridhara Maharaj in his Bhagavad Gita, Hidden Treasure of the Absolute, of the Sweet Absolute. Here we find the verse reads as follows: Our army, headed by Bhishma, is inadequate, whereas the army of the Pandavas, protected by Bhima, is competent. Which translation is correct? Could both of them be correct? Srila Prabhupada dedicated his Gita commentary to Baladev Vidyabhasana, who gave the world Govinda Bhasha, because his concern was to give the overall Siddhanta of our Sampradaya to the world, rather than focus on a few of the precious jewels of our devotional conclusions in his commentary. Many previous translations of the Gita had not produced a devotee, yet Srila Prabhupada's Gita produced and continues to produce thousands of devotees. No doubt he had something specific in mind as he set out to translate and comment on the Gita. The Gita is a deep book from which even the highest truth of Parakiya Bhava can be drawn directly from the text by those who are themselves deeply immersed in the mellows of pure devotion. Srila Prabhupada relished these finer points of Siddhanta with Srila Sridhara Maharaj when they lived together at Siddhakanta Banerjee Lane in Calcutta. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was working on his Gita translation. Srila Prabhupada appreciated Sridhara Maharaj's perception of the Chatur Sloka of the Gita. When it was brought up to Srila Prabhupada for his opinion, he remarked to Sridhara Maharaj, "Yes, it must be." Yet in his own treatise, Srila Prabhupada has something different in mind, wide-scale distribution of Krishna consciousness. Srila Sridhara Maharaj, however, preferred to keep close company with fewer devotees and examine and relish the finer points of Gaudiya Siddhanta. He tended to discuss the mood of the circumstance rather than relate the circumstance itself, much like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the contemporary of Baladev Vidyabhasana. Their differences are only apparent, and they are analogous to the differences in emphasis and style of Baladev Vidyabhasana, who gave the Siddhanta as it is, and his substantial guru, Vishwanath Chakravarti, who consistently presented the hidden treasure in his commentaries. On this particular text, Baladeva Vidyabhasana translates aparaptam as immeasurable, thus giving the upper hand to Bhishma, and paryaptam as limited, while Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the upper hand to Bhima. The Sanskrit dictionary tells us that both these words, aparyaptam and paryaptam, can have opposite meanings and can therefore be used to support either translation. Bhishma was the greatest of kshatriyas, thus he certainly strengthened Duryodhana's army. in accord with Srila Prabhupada's translation. Yet Bhishma also was a weak element in the military arrangement of Duryodhana, for although outwardly the strongest to oppose the Pandavas, he was inwardly the weakest. Bhishma was formerly on the side of Duryodhana, while at heart and in spirit he was a member of the Pandavas army. Bhishma loved the Pandava brothers and Sri Krishna with all of his heart. How could such a person, however strong militarily, be someone Duryodhana could count on? The straight truth as it is that Bhishma was a formidable fighter and an asset to Duryodhana. The hidden treasure is that he was weakened in his support for Duryodhana because of his deep love for the Pandavas. This sweet truth is also alluded to in Srila Prabhupada's commentary on text 11 of the first chapter of the Gita. There, Srila Prabhupada says, although he, Duryodhana, knew that the two generals, Bhishma and Dronacharya, had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that all such affection would now be completely given up by them, as was customary during the gambling performances. When discussing the lives and writings of the Acharyas, we should enter into such discussion with a feeling for what Vaishnavism is all about. Otherwise, we may become victims of offenses to Vaishnavas, aparad. Their lives are all about love, which resolves all contradictions. Love harmonizes all things that nothing else can. The lives of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj and their relationship with one another are something for which we can learn about the spirit of love. To date, there has been considerable debate about the nature of their relationship. Be assured it is one of absolute love, which, as Ujvalad Nila Manis tells us, moves in a crooked way. Thus, it is not understood by all, and certainly not without looking beneath the surface. In love, there must be differences, apparent differences. The higher harmony is that which we seek, beyond the material conceptions of friends and enemies. In the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Dasa Thakur writes, sometimes there are differences of opinion among the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, which might appear like an argument, but in fact it is an amazing relationship between devotees. Foolish rascals who do not understand this exchange praise one Vaishnava and denounce the other. Such a mentality will lead to destruction of faith and knowledge. And in Antyalila, the Vaishnavas are extensions of the Lord's limbs, so how can one benefit by serving him with one hand and inflicting pain on him with the other? One who hears, glorifies, and understands these transcendental subjects can always avoid Vaishnava aparad.
Okay, thank you, Guru.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And Krishna Prabhu, would you like to read?
Maharaj, others can read probably.
You can read if you would like.
I'm a little bit lost, Maharaj, actually.
Oh, we're on the section that says Madhurya Ras.
We are on the preaching, right, Maharaj?
The section of Madhurya Ras? On preaching, yes. Chapter 5, preaching.
Madhurya Rasa. Some say that Srila Sridhar Maharaja's tasteful illuminations of the most sublime aspects of Madhurya Rasa and the tantamount importance of Srimati Radharani and her dearmost Rupa Goswami Manjari are not in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. One GBC even requested Srila Sridhar Maharaja not to introduce Madhurya topics in his con. But the fact of matter is that we cannot deny that we are a Madhurya Rasa Sampradaya, and it is just this which distinguishes us from other Sampradayas. It is our Gaudiya Sampradaya's prominent teaching and was dealt with skillfully and tastefully by Srila Prabhupada. He continually warned us not to read 10th canto, neglecting the first 9 cantos. He continually warned us not to read 10th canto, neglecting the first 9 cantos, but presented Krishna Brook early on, showing us the standard. We invite our readers to read Loving Search for the Lost Servant by Srila Sridhar Maharaj in this light. Srila Sridhar Maharaj's article, Fools Rush in Where Angels Fear to Tread, clearly shows him upholding the dignity of the Rupanuga Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada wrote, Oh, it is not oh, it is not that the gopis are boycotted. The policy should be that because people may not understand the gopis, they may think that they are ordinary girls. We should be careful how we present the gopis. It does not mean that we shall not even utter the word gopis, that we have taken a vow to boycott the gopis. No, they are worshipful devotees. How can we avoid them? Srila Prabhupada, Conversation, 24 December 1969. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction. Thus, to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding of conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material, so-called love between man and woman. Similarly, if one understands the pure Vatsalya, Sakya and Dasya love for Krishna, one will not be attracted by their material counterparts. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 435. Another testament to Srila Sridhar Maharaj's preaching being in concert with Srila Prabhupada's is that many of Srila Prabhupada's stalwart sannyasis formerly greatly appreciated Srila Sridhar Maharaj's penetrating realizations. For example, Jaipataka Maharaja, hearing Srila Sridhar Maharaj's explanation of Bhagavatam 10:80-49, wherein the innermost heart's feelings of Srimati Radharani is poignantly expressed, said, "Please go with us to America." The beautiful sloka of Bhagavatam, "You have to explain there." Also, Jaipataka Maharaja responded with, "Yes, that's very clear. Thank you very much." In appreciation of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's lucid explanation of how to see the Guru in light of Nikunjo Yuno Rati Keli Siddhai verse of the Samsara prayers, our spiritual master is very dear because he expertly assists the gopis in tastefully arranging the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And in 1980, Swatsarupa Maharaja was so encouraged by the depth and clarity of Srila Sridhar Maharaja's realizations that he made copies of Srila Sridhar Maharaja's darshans and freely distributed them to the disciples along with a taped introduction by himself. I think it is very encouraging for everyone to hear our spiritual uncle Srila Sridhar Maharaj is helping us. Bhakti Charu Swami revealed confidence in Srila Sridhar Maharaja's capabilities at the time. That is what most of the Godbrothers also feel. They felt that whatever Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, we will accept the decision. In March of 1981, Tamal Krishna Maharaja happily expressed his appreciation for Srila Sridhar Maharaja's nectarian Krishna Katha. "The babies are full of milk now. We are well fed. We have been fully fed today. We think you are like a Surabhi cow." Giriraja Maharaj wrote in September of 1978, "Both in terms of relative rank and absolute realization, Sridhara Swami is far beyond any of us. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was especially qualified to speak of the higher dealings of Krishna and his confidential associates, always doing so in the most tasteful way. His explanations are readily available to all in any of his innumerable books and tapes. The Acharyas in our parampara are predominantly of Madhurya Rasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is Adhurya Leela, the distribution of spontaneous love of God. Samarpayatam Unnata Ujvala Rasam Svabhakti Shriyam. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1.4. Prema Rasya Nirasya Karite Aswadana Raga Marga Bhakti Loke Karite Pracharana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, Madhurya. And he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. The very name of Srila Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshaka, means literally guardian of devotion, a name given by his Guru Maharaja, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, in recognition of his purity in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Sridhara Maharaja's penetrating explanation of Sri Brahma Gayatri as signifying the summit of devotional worship unto Srimati Radharani, Radha Dasyam, revealed his profound depth of realization and is deeply appreciated by those fortunate and intelligent devotees who are aware of the relishable beauty of pure devotional service. He revealed the precious gift of the hidden treasure of the internal purport of Sri Bhagavad Gita, revealing profound inner truths that are the very life nectar for the devotees' hearts and spiritual senses. His brilliant and penetrating Madhurya commentaries charmed and captured our hearts, but Srila Sridhara Maharaj always gave us a pound of caution with every ounce of Madhurya nectar. His distaste for the Sahajya section was well known, referring to the... One moment, Maharaj, I need to scroll down. Profound depth of realization and is deeply appreciated by by intelligent devotees who are aware of the relishable beauty of pure devotional service. He revealed the precious gift of the hidden treasure of the internal purport of Sri Bhagavad Gita, revealing profound inner truths that are the very life nectar for devotees' hearts and spiritual senses. His brilliant, penetrating Madhurya commentaries charmed and captured our hearts, but Srila Sridhar Maharaja always gave us a pound of caution with every ounce of Madhurya nectar. His distaste for the Sahajya section was well known, referring to the premature Siddha Pranali advocates or Pukura Churi Vale, pond thieves. One moment, Maharaj, I'm having a problem with my web page here. Their so-called Sakhi identity being false and imaginary, and their achievement sheer concoction. The Anartha Nivritti stage is not affected thereby. They are trying to jump over the many planes of consciousness without recognizing the ontological gradation from Viraja to Brahmaloka, Vaikuntha and Goloka.
Exactly.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, now 9 o'clock. We should stop here. Very nice, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you all, Prabhus. And yes, and we will end. You can all say Hare Krishna to one another if you like. My Dandavat to all. Hare Bol.
Dandavat Pranam Maharaj Ji.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.